Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, August 13th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
U.S. stocks near a record for the S&P 500, 6 points shy of an all-time high.
Stimulus talks remain in limbo with no sign of the stalemate easing.
The coronavirus outbreak shows signs of improvement in some of the hardest hit states.
And President Trump ramps up his push to get students back to school.
New York and New Jersey teachers voice concerns about in-person learning. Plus, it's the first joint appearance for the Biden-Harris ticket. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees beat the Braves, the Mets down the Nationals, and the Islanders won their playoff series opener with the Capitals.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good Thursday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by SEI. Crises and challenges highlight the power of partnership and character. Work for the common good. One community, SEI. Go to SEIC.com/banks.
And U.S. futures are falling on the heels of yesterday's gains. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are little changed, down a half point. Dow futures down 9. NASDAQ futures down 5 points. The DAX in Germany and the CAC in Paris both down a tenth of 1%. 10-year Treasury is up 10/32. The yield 0.65%. Yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed, up 5 cents to $42.72 a barrel. COMEX gold is down a quarter percent, down $4.90 at $19.44.20 an ounce. The euro at 1.1837 against the dollar, and the yen is at 106.76. John?
And the rally in U.S. stocks has the S&P 500 on the cusp of a record. So where do we go from here? Not far, according to Blackstone Vice Chairman Byron Wien.
The bear market is over. The recession is over. I can see the S&P 500 being a little bit higher than it is today. But basically, I think it's fully priced at this point.
He's not alone in that assessment. Carlyle's head of global credit, Mark Jenkins, says it's a hard environment to deploy fresh capital.
Clearly, the financial markets, we would say, are not necessarily reflecting what's going on in the real economy right now, which has been that demand destruction that we saw as a result of the current pandemic that we have.
Nonetheless, U.S. stocks are nearing a record, with the S&P 500 just 6 points shy of an all-time high.
Now, if the rally is going to continue, we will likely need more stimulus from Congress, but things don't look great on that front. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is rejecting an offer from the White House to restart talks. She says Republicans aren't taking the process seriously and are unwilling to budge from demands for only a small stimulus bill. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is also continuing the lines of attack.
The Speaker and the Democratic leaders are letting the wish list of wealthy coastal elites stand between every working family in America and the additional help they deserve.
Negotiations remain in limbo with no sign of the stalemate easing. Democrats say there will be no talks until the White House agrees to spend more than the $1 trillion it's offering.
The Federal Reserve continuing its call for Congress to act quickly. Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren tells us he thinks a deal will ultimately get done.
My personal assumption and my forecast is that some form of additional stimulus is going to occur. It would definitely be bad news both for my forecast and for the economy if we don't do any additional stimulus at this time.
Rosengren is also blaming a quick reopening of the U.S. economy for prolonging the downturn. More from our interview with the Boston Fed president. That's coming up in 15 minutes from right now, right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Meantime, a large swath of the U.S. remains out of work in the wake of the pandemic. Today, we get the latest tally on unemployment with a weekly reading on jobless claims. Here with more is Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
It's the key question for investors. How much did the economy slow in the last month or so? And did that slowdown push more people out of work? The consensus is it did, with initial jobless claims forecast to be over a million for the 21st week in a row. In all, analysts see another week of more than 30 million Americans receiving some kind of unemployment benefits. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Meantime, some of the hardest hit states are showing signs of improvement in the pandemic. Hospitalizations in California, they're on the decline, and Governor Gavin Newsom says the state is starting to turn the corner.
It's very encouraging to see the 14-day hospitalization numbers continue to decrease. over 19%, I think 19.3, 19.4% decrease in the last 14 days.
Hospitalizations in Texas are also declining, down to the lowest level in 6 weeks. Overall, daily U.S. infections are up 1.1%, right in line with the one-week average.
And that has President Trump ramping up his push to get students back to school.
Virtual learning is not like being in a classroom, and we've learned that, I think, very strongly. In almost all cases, people thought for a long time that would be the answer, but that's not the answer.
The president hosted an event featuring parents, educators, and researchers arguing for in-person learning. Meantime, some districts are heeding his call, though they're slamming doors shut again. Here with more is Bloomberg's Mark Mills.
Schools that reopen fully and early are seeing hundreds of students, staff, and teachers put into quarantine as COVID-19 spreads. A suburban Atlanta school district Wednesday temporarily closed in-person instruction at a second of its 6 high schools. Nationally, most districts are ignoring Trump's full-speed-ahead advice. Large urban districts that are starting the year online include Atlanta, Houston, Boston, Los Angeles, and Chicago. Mark Mills, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And turning to geopolitics now, it looks like the White House is stepping up pressure on Germany and France when it comes to trade. The administration's adding extra tariffs to goods from those countries starting next month. It's a move designed to squeeze the EU into settling the long-running dispute over illegal subsidies to Airbus.
In Asia, overnight stocks rose for a third session, getting close to erasing losses for the year. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and John. Shares in Japan saw the bulk of gains during the Asian session. The Nikkei 225 up 1.8%. Australian equities underperformed as earnings at some firms disappointed and the unemployment rate picked up to 7.5% in July. And bonds rallied in New Zealand while the Kiwi fell after the RBNZ's chief economist confirmed the central bank would prefer a weaker currency. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. And after those gains in Asia overnight, we're seeing a slight pullback to futures on Wall Street. S&P futures down almost a point. Dow futures down 8. NASDAQ futures down 5 points. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And it is 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you, sir. New York City teachers and staff are calling for the Education Department to delay in-person learning past September 10th over pandemic worries. In a letter to Mayor Bill de Blasio and Schools Chancellor Richard Carranza, this Council of School Supervisors and Administrators wrote, "There are many unanswered questions about concerns from teachers." The United Federation of Teachers Union also says they believe the Department of Education should delay the reopening of school buildings. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is backing off his original mandate for how schools will reopen in September. Bloomberg's Jill Snyder has the story.
Governor Murphy will allow the state's public schools the option of all remote teaching. That's a retreat from his earlier requirement that all districts offer some level of in-person instruction. The decision came a day after groups representing administrators joined New Jersey's biggest teachers union to raise alarms about classroom safety while the coronavirus continues to spread. The governor didn't estimate how many of the state's 2,500 public schools may choose to begin the year remotely. Jill Schneider, Bloomberg Radio.
Joe Biden and Kamala Harris made their first joint appearance as running mates yesterday, promising to bring steady leadership to the White House and lacing into President Trump for his failed response to the coronavirus pandemic. Senator Harris.
His refusal to get testing up and running, his flip-flopping on social distancing and wearing masks, his delusional belief that he knows better than the experts.
Biden, speaking with Harris in Wilmington, Delaware, says the choice we make this November is going to determine the future of America for a long, long time. President Trump says he will prevent Democrats from allowing mail-in voting in November by refusing to approve the funds to make it happen.
It'll be the greatest rigged election in history. It'll be the greatest fraud ever perpetrated, other than perhaps what they did to my campaign, where they spied on my campaign, President Obama, Biden, and everybody else.
A marquee dining spot at Hudson Yards in Manhattan is closing. Chef Thomas Keller says that he is shutting down his Tack Room restaurant. The pandemic upended the restaurant and retail picture at the development. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up on 510 on Wall Street. Yeah, it's time for the Burton Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And good morning, John Stanshower.
Good morning, John. Before the game with the Braves, the Yankees admitted to a minor Aaron Judge injury, which explained the curious move to take him out of Tuesday's game. They had said for rest. Truth is, Judge has lower tightness. He campaigned Aaron Boone to let him play last night. They didn't need him. Gary Sanchez and Clint Frazier hit back-to-back home runs in the second inning. Yanks went on to beat Atlanta at the stadium 6-3. Frazier had three hits in his return after being demoted from the active roster 2 weeks ago.
Tonight was fun, you know. It felt good to get the first at-bat out of the way and just kind of be able to breathe. But, you know, I'm... Like I said, I feel like I'm a little more advanced in some areas, and I'm just glad that tonight was able to start with a bang.
DJ LeMahieu had four hits. Yanks used seven pitchers. Jonathan Loaisiga got the win. The Mets also used seven pitchers. They beat Washington 11-6. Home runs for Pete Alonso, Brandon Nimmo, and Dom Smith. They all had three hits. The Islanders had a great start to this NHL season, but before the shutdown, they were mired in a seven-game losing streak. Time off seems to have helped. Isles won 3 of 4 from Florida in the qualifying round, opened up their first-round series, beating Washington 4-2. Capitals led 2-0 on two T.J. Oshie power play goals second period, but Jordan Eberle scored late second period. Anders Lee early third. Josh Bailey put the Isles ahead shorthanded. Anthony Beauvillier for insurance, his fourth of the playoffs. Four other Stanley Cup playoff openers. Philadelphia topped Montreal 2-1. Colorado shut out Arizona 3-0. Vancouver took St. Louis 5-2. And Boston in double overtime over Carolina. NBA Toronto beat Philadelphia. That means the Sixers will play the Celtics first round of the playoffs. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John.
All right, thanks, John. And Bubba Wallace has signed a new sponsorship deal. Columbia Sportswear has announced a multi-year agreement with NASCAR's only black full-time driver as a brand ambassador. Company will be featured on the number 43 car at Dover later this month, plus one or two future races. Wallace has gained national attention as an activist who successfully pushed NASCAR to ban the Confederate flag at its events. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the sports report was brought to you by Burton Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burton serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burtonllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. U.S. futures are fluctuating this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down a point. Dow futures down 9. NASDAQ futures down almost 5 points. 10-year Treasury is up 8/32. The yield 0.65%. Yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% of 12 cents to $42.79 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.25%, down $4.80 at $19.44.20 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1828 against the dollar. The yen is at 106.79. That's the Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. House Speaker Pelosi said she rebuffed an overture from Treasury Secretary Mnuchin to restart talks on a new round of U.S. pandemic relief because the White House hadn't budged on calling for a smaller stimulus. But Mnuchin said it was Pelosi who refused to compromise, and the negotiations remain in limbo. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets beat the Nationals. The Red Sox lost. The Orioles won. The A's beat the Angels 8-4. The Giants lost. In the NHL playoffs, the Islanders won Game 1 over the Capitals. The Bruins beat the Hurricanes in double overtime. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. 519 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning, I'm John Tucker. Inflation is on the rise, with yesterday's Consumer Price Index reading coming in at double the average forecast. But Eric Rosengren isn't worried that inflation will overshoot the Federal Reserve's target. Boston Fed President Rosengren sat down with Bloomberg's Michael McKee for a wide-ranging interview on the economy, policy, and the pandemic. Let's listen into some of that conversation right now.
I'd like to start with an unexpectedly large jump in the consumer price index. That started, or at least contributed to a debate on Wall Street about whether all the stimulus that's been pumped into the economy is inflationary. Some people even talking about the possibility of stagflation. Are those bad takes, or is it a reasonable discussion to have?
I think it's very premature to be concerned about a significant increase in inflation. I would say I'm still actually concerned that we're going to have difficulty reaching our 2% inflation target. So remember, inflation is a sustained increase in prices. I think what we're seeing in some of the monthly reports is some things have been a little scarce as a result of the pandemic. Other things are in abundant supply. And we're seeing things like airline tickets and some other areas where it doesn't really reflect robust growth, but actually reflects the cost structure that occurs while we're having a pandemic. So I think there are going to be relative price changes that from time to time increase and make the reported numbers seem larger. But right now, with 10% unemployment, I'm not particularly concerned about inflation growing at a rapid rate.
On the growth side, there seems to be a growing feeling that we might see a resurgence of the virus this fall, and that would hit GDP, that would hit growth. You were very strong in saying the U.S. in many places opened up too quickly.
I looked at Europe versus the United States. Europe ended up taking a big hit because they had very significant shutdowns. But now they're out and about much more than in the United States because they've been able to control the pandemic better than the United States as a whole. I then compared the state patterns. And so what the state patterns show is that those regions of the country, particularly in the South and the West, that opened up very quickly and with somewhat abandon, ended up getting a short-term boost to their economy, but it also increased the infection rate quite significantly. And as the infection rate has increased, people have changed their behavior, and either through changes in state mandates or changes in people's behavior, they're doing less spending, they're less mobile than they were. And so you see in the data that the New England and Mid-Atlantic states are now doing better because they had a more significant shutdown and were more restrained in how they opened up. I think as we get into the fall, that's going to be an important lesson to learn, that we need to follow the data very closely on what's happening with the pandemic. And if there starts to be an increase, we need to take more significant changes, either in our behavior or in the state requiring mandates that require that behavior.
Well, at least one of your colleagues has suggested the need for another lockdown. Would you go that far?
I think ideally it's much less costly to wear masks, to socially distance, to not be in big groups in poorly ventilated places. If we follow those guidelines, we can probably do less costly solutions than a shutdown. But if we don't either follow the guidelines by the CDC and if the behavior doesn't change, in those parts of the country, the pandemic could quite possibly get severe enough that we run out of ICU units and as a result of the capacity at the hospitals have to actually shut down. I think there may be some regions of the country that are pretty close to that right now. I do think as the weather turns and it gets colder and schools are back in session, or at least some schools are back in session, the chance of the virus becoming more severe in the fall, I think, is substantial. I know the hospitals in the Boston area are preparing for another wave in the fall. I think that's probably true at most hospitals around the country. So I think this is a time to be quite vigilant, and I would highlight that being too relaxed now may have severe outcomes, both for the health and mortality of citizens, but also to the economy as well. So if you want a strong economy, we need to take actions against the pandemic that prevent the pandemic from shutting down the economy.
Well, given all that, what's your outlook for growth and unemployment through the end of the year, say? Have you changed it?
I've not changed my forecast that much. My own forecast is predicated on us having another wave of infections that were not effective in avoiding person-to-person transmission in a significant way. And I think that's going to result in either people's behavior or state mandates that slow the economy more than I would like to see. It's certainly much less costly than a shutdown to take appropriate actions now. But it seems like our political leaders are fairly reticent to take those actions. And I think human behavior being what it is, Many people have been less willing to wear masks, avoid social gatherings, etc.
That's Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren speaking with Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee. And we're going to bring you more of that conversation coming up a little less than an hour from now, right here on Bloomberg Daybreak. We're ahead of the cash open on Wall Street. Futures right now, they're in the red. Dow futures down 17 points. S&P futures, they're down just slightly after coming within 6 points of record yesterday. Right now, S&P futures down 2. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures this morning, 12 points lower. That's down about a tenth of a percent. Just ahead, top stories on Bloomberg Daybreak. And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Daybreak being brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The rally in U.S. stocks has the S&P 500 on the cusp of a record, just 6 points shy of an all-time high. That's despite stimulus talks on Capitol Hill going nowhere. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is rejecting an offer to restart negotiations unless the White House scraps its demand to cap spending. She says Republicans aren't taking the process seriously. In turn, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is blaming Democrats.
Republicans want to get more aid to these workers, but Senate Democrats have blocked every bit of it over non-COVID-related liberal demands.
Negotiations remain in limbo with no sign of the stalemate easing. Democrats say there will be no talks until the White House agrees to spend more than the $1 trillion it's offering.
A large swath of America remains out of work today. We get the latest tally on unemployment with a weekly reading on jobless claims. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Deljudice.
COVID-19 furloughs and job cuts persist. Initial jobless claims have topped 1 million since mid-March, peaking at almost 6.9 million late in the month. Bloomberg Economics says the labor market recovery depends on business confidence, and that's fragile. The economy is down by almost 13 million jobs since the pandemic struck, and businesses are failing, one of the most recent being retailer Stein Mart. Vinny Deljudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. On the political side of the pandemic, we're seeing President Trump ramp up his push to get students back in school.
Virtual is not as good as being there. Virtual is just not the same thing. And for a long time, we've been hearing how great it would be, how great it would be. Well, we've had the ultimate sample, right? Namely, the whole country practically, and it's not as good.
At the same time, we're seeing some districts that fully reopened shut again. Some are putting students, staff, and teachers into quarantine. Most large urban districts are starting the year online, including Atlanta, Houston, Boston, Los Angeles, and Chicago.
And turning to geopolitics now, it looks like the White House is stepping up pressure on Germany and France when it comes to trade. The administration's adding extra tariffs to goods from those countries starting next month. This is a move designed to squeeze the EU into settling the long-running dispute over illegal subsidies to Airbus.
All right, let's see how the markets are looking right now. We check them every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 2 points, Dow futures down 14, NASDAQ futures down 7. DAX in Germany, CAC in Paris, both little change to lower. The 10-year is up 8/32, yield 0.65%, yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 3 cents, $42.64 a barrel, and COMEX gold is down $8, $19.41 even an ounce. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Now it's now 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much, sir. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has backed off a requirement that the state's 2,500 public schools conduct in-person teaching and says some districts will be allowed options.
Any student who chooses to continue remote learning must be accommodated.
Murphy's decision came a day after groups representing administrators joined the state's biggest teachers union, the New Jersey Education Association, to raise alarms about classroom safety while the coronavirus continues to spread. This comes as over 480 new coronavirus cases were reported in New Jersey, with 9 more deaths. New York City teachers and staff are calling for the Education Department to delay in-person learning past September 10th over pandemic worries. The Council of School Supervisors and Administrators told Mayor de Blasio there are many unanswered questions about concerns from teachers. The United Federation of Teachers Union also says they believe the Department of Education should delay the reopening of school buildings. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris spoke in Wilmington, Delaware at their first joint appearance on the Democratic presidential ticket. Senator Harris says the current administration has done way too much damage to the country to remain in office any longer.
Everything we care about, our economy, our health, our children, the kind of country we live in, it's all on the line.
Meanwhile, Biden says he wants his VP choice to do what he did for President Obama.
Ask Kamala to be the last voice in the room, to always tell me the truth, which she will. Challenge my assumptions if she disagrees. Ask the hard questions, because that's the way we make the best decisions for the American people.
Joe Biden raised $26 million for his presidential campaign in the 24 hours after announcing that Senator Harris would be his running mate. President Trump gave a wide-ranging briefing from the White House last night. He was asked about his recent abolishing of low-income housing requirements for many suburbs.
They fought all their lives to be there, and then all of a sudden they have something happen that changes their life and changes what they fought for so many years.
Critics slammed the move as racist and promoting segregation. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street, time down for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And here's John Stashower.
All right, thanks, John. The Yankees sweep the mini two-game series with Atlanta, winning last night at the stadium 6-3. They trailed 2-0 early on, but then back-to-back home runs in the second inning from two guys who really needed home runs. Gary Sanchez's average is still just over 100. And Clint Frazier, welcome back. Frazier had 3 hits in the game. He has seemingly been ping-pong back and forth between New York and the minor leagues for a few years now. It just happened again a couple weeks ago. But with Giancarlo Stanton injured out maybe a month, Frazier's going to get another chance. Yanks also scored twice in the fourth and fifth innings. DJ LeMay, who 4 hits, now batting .431. Yanks are off tonight. They'll play the Red Sox tomorrow. Aaron Judge expected to play this weekend. He did not play last night. Lower tightness. Mets have a day game with the Nationals today. They'll try to get a split of the 4-game series. The Mets won last night 11-6, a game that was 4-3 Mets while still in the first inning. Mets then broke it open with a 5-run 6. 3 hits, including a home run for 3 different Mets. Pete Alonso, Brandon Nimmo, and Dom Smith. Islanders opened their first-round playoff series with Washington, beating the Capitals 4-2. They trailed 2-0 in late in the second period, got on the board, and then 3 goals in the third period. Anders Lee had the tying goal. He also got into 2 fights. We just had a fanless PGA Championship. There will be no fans at next month's U.S. Open at Wingfoot in Mamaroneck. And Augusta National announced yesterday that when we finally have the Masters in November, 7 months later than usual, no fans, or as they call them, patrons. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John.
All right, John, thanks a lot. 5:37 on Wall Street. And that's time for the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. With that, here's Bloomberg's Ed Khoury.
Manhattan apartment rents plunged last month by the most in nearly 9 years. That's only one sign of weakness for the borough's leasing market. By almost every measure, the news is dismal for landlords who are trying to keep units filled amid a global pandemic that has sparked an urban exodus. Michelin-starred chef Thomas Keller is shutting down his TAK Room restaurant at Hudson Yards, one of the highest-profile closings to date due to the coronavirus. The dining spot is a marquee attraction of the $25 million complex. The pandemic has upended the restaurant and retail business there. New York's highest court has ruled in favor of Governor Phil Murphy's plan to issue $10 billion in debt. The money would plug a revenue hole caused by the coronavirus. The decision by the New Jersey Supreme Court allows one of the most financially strapped states to increase bonded debt by 22%. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Khoury.
And it's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WFLA in Orlando, I'll be talking about United Airlines, debuting nonstop flights from seven cities to Florida, starting in the fall.
I'm Joan Doniger, telling KYW listeners in Philadelphia how a canceled college football season could hit the state's budget via sports betting.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the growing fear of a slump in the housing market.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting General Motors is looking for a new credit card partner.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It is now 5:39 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is online now with a cover on antitrust issues facing Google. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAGGO. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio and on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device. Just visit YouTube.com and search Bloomberg Global News. And some other stories we're following. Shares of Cisco down almost 6% in early trading. The company gave a lackluster forecast for the current period, a sign that businesses are spending less in the recession. CEO Chuck Robbins wants to reduce expenses by $1 billion through a reorganization that includes job cuts and early retirement for some workers. Lyft posted its worst financial performance as a public company. Ride-sharing service reported a 61% decline in revenue, and its loss rose by 37%. The company did maintain its forecast for a quarterly adjusted profit by the end of next year. And Airbnb reported plunging revenue and mounting losses in the second quarter. But Bloomberg News has learned the home-sharing startup still considering an IPO by the end of the year. Sales were down 67%, an indication of the impact of the pandemic on global travel. This is Bloomberg. The Sports Report is brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. European stocks are slipping. U.S. futures are fluctuating as a global rally in equities shows signs of faltering with stimulus talks in Washington, D.C. deadlocked. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 4 points. Dow futures down 29. NASDAQ futures lower by 16 points. The DAX in Germany down 0.2%. The CAC in Paris down 0.1%. The FTSE in London is down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury is up 6/32. The yield 0.66%. Yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil down 2 cents at $42.64 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $7.70 at $19.41.30 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1841 against the dollar, and the yen is at 106.80. 8:30 Wall Street time, we get initial jobless claims and the import and export price index. The Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index comes out at 9:45, and Applied Materials is among companies reporting earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris delivered a 1-2 punch on the character and performance of President Trump as they made their election case for the first time as Democratic running mates in Delaware. Meanwhile, President Trump continued to push for schools across the country to open buildings to students for the start of the new school year. A Florida sheriff has ordered deputies not to wear masks or face coverings. In an email to the department, Marion County Sheriff Billy Woods also wants people visiting the sheriff's office to remove their masks. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets beat the Nationals 11-6. The Red Sox lost. The Orioles won. The A's beat the Angels 8-4. The Giants lost. NHL playoff action. The Islanders won Game 1 over the Capitals 4-2. The Bruins beat the Hurricanes in double overtime 4-3. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:49 on Wall Street. We're live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm John Tucker. Well, as the S&P 500 hovers just about 6 points shy of its record, we turn to our next guest this morning. Jeffrey Yu is the senior strategist at BNY Mellon. covering the waterfront. Jeffrey, is it getting a little toppy? The signs of perhaps faltering with equities?
Well, you know, right now it really is a question of, you know, how to reconcile, you know, fundamental, not just on the economic side, but on fears of a second wave, you know, globally, versus what the valuations are telling you. Is it waiting for more stimulus by the Fed? Is it waiting for the fiscal side? And we just need some validation quickly.
The rise in stocks, does it reflect what's really happening in the real economy, though?
Well, we have to look at the leaders of what's actually driving stocks, right? So ultimately, we can find that it's probably just a select group of companies which might actually be a bit more insulated. But one other clear factor, and we see it in the U.S. and in the U.K. right now, is the labor market and actually all the labor market data reflecting what really is going on in the actual labor market. You know, once government support rolls off, you know, when paychecks, you know, really, you know, start to cease and there's no more income, then, you know, things can actually, you know, turn. We're just not there yet, and markets just don't really, you know, want to turn in terms of risk sentiment until they actually see it coming through the data. So let's see what claims today tells us.
Yeah, we do get the claims about 8:30 this morning, Wall Street time. Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren was on the program yesterday. We've been playing excerpts of that this morning. He weighed in on what the lack of more stimulus would mean for the economy. It doesn't seem promising. What's your view?
Well, stimulus is really the one thing, you know, holding things up, you know, right now. And the Federal Reserve, I think, has been very, very vocal in calling, you know, for Congress to do more. If you look at in continental Europe, you know, what some governments are doing, you're talking about extensions of them up to 2 years. Other central banks are also, you know, relying on governments to apply more fiscal stimulus and creating the conditions through quantitative easing to do so. The UK is a bit of an outlier as well. So, you know, let's see how these economies interact. So probably in the UK and US, you're going to see labour markets, you know, start to actually fall off a bit compared to everywhere else. And, you know, that's when it will be reflected in asset markets and in rotation.
Also, reflection in the currency markets. Is Europe really doing better than the United States?
I think right now the differentiation is actually twofold. One, Europe was actually underpositioned and even before COVID, right? So I think the first inflow, the delta, you know, so to speak, is actually to reflect, you know, Europe is managing the situation perhaps slightly better, you know, on a more even footing. It's just less worse. You know, I wouldn't say better.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably it. We're really, you know, using a low base right now. But on the other hand, the euro is reflecting, you know, the NGEU package, that there is an investment plan in place. Again, this will take time, you know, early next year when the money really begins to flow. But expectations have changed, and, you know, that is actually worth a bit of a re-rating too.
I want to switch to the demand for bonds. We've had auctions. There doesn't seem to be any lack of demand.
You know, that's the surprising thing right now. On the one hand, you know, you really have, you know, governments, also you really have markets are worried about, you know, a bit about inflation. That's what gold is telling you, you know, debasement of the currency, monetization of debt. But on the other hand, so investors are still, you know, buying this. So it feels like, you know, gold prices, you know, that has been more of a hedge. I'm sure at some point inflation really start to build. But for the time being, given the amount of aggregate demand destruction, you know, that just we talked about with respect to the labor market, there's just no prospect of inflation really picking up. So there's no term premium in bonds, and I think investors are just happy to keep on underwriting central banks carrying on underwriting governments.
Jeff, always a pleasure. We appreciate your time this morning. Jeffrey Yu, senior strategist at BNY Mellon. Nathan.
Thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute? Resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Now let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Hundreds of businesses that are suing insurance companies over coverage for pandemic-related business interruptions will fight on individually. A federal judicial panel refused to centralize the cases. A suit filed in San Francisco alleges United Airlines violated state wage and hour laws at California airports by not paying earned wages and providing breaks. And a lawsuit filed in Tennessee federal court accuses DHL Express and the company that handles last-mile deliveries in the Memphis area of cheating workers out of overtime pay.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal story we're watching is a big victory for Qualcomm. The Ninth Circuit Court threw out a decision that would have required the chip maker to renegotiate billions of dollars worth of agreements with smartphone makers. For more on the decision, June Grosso speaks to Bloomberg Intelligence senior litigation analyst Jennifer Ree.
This is certainly a major victory for Qualcomm. Shares initially jumped more than 4% on the news of the decision. Explain why it's so important.
Well, this really was major. Qualcomm couldn't have come out better than it came out with this decision. A district court had found that the way Qualcomm was licensing its patents was anti-competitive. And the licensing of its patents and the royalties are a huge part of Qualcomm's revenue. And what the district court had said is because the way Qualcomm was licensing these patents, it had to go back and it had to renegotiate basically almost all of its licensing agreements for certain modem chips, certain cellular chips of different generations that are used in our basically everybody's cell phones. And it would have really cut into Qualcomm's revenue. So what happened here with the appeal is that the appellate court basically just reversed everything as a matter of law. It said that every single practice of Qualcomm that the district court ticked through and claimed was illegal monopolization was not. And it erased everything that Qualcomm did. It vacated the injunction, and it essentially left Qualcomm free just to continue its business practices as they were before the FTC sued them in 2017. So it's a huge win for Qualcomm because it preserves this big piece of revenue that they're able to achieve with these patents.
Jen, the court said anti-competitive behavior is illegal under federal antitrust law. Hyper-competitive behavior is not. And that seems to illustrate the reasoning behind the court's decision. This was business, tough business, but not anti-competitive.
Exactly. They even said later, this is just Qualcomm with sharp elbows. You know, hyper-competitive, aggressive, maximizing their profits. And all of that is fine. And all of that encourages innovation. And June, this is exactly why I have been saying for quite a long time, it's just very difficult for a plaintiff under current U.S. precedent to prove a legal monopolization in court, because there's a very fine line between anti-competitive conduct and hyper-competitive conduct. And the district court found this to be anti-competitive. It crossed the line from hyper-competitive into illegal. And this appellate court said, no, it didn't. It didn't cross that line, and it's simply hyper-competitive. And it's an incredibly difficult determination for any judge or jury to make. And it's part of the reason why it's hard to prove monopolization.
And that's Bloomberg Intelligence senior litigation analyst Jennifer Ree speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Bit of a pullback for futures with the S&P just 6 points away from an all-time high. Right now, S&P futures are down nearly 5 points. Dow futures lower by 32. NASDAQ futures down 17.5 points. 10-year Treasury is up 4/32. The yield 0.67%. Yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.1%, down 8 cents at $42.59 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5%, down $10.30, $19.3870 an ounce. Euro 1.1832 against the dollar. The yen is at 106.86. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.